tonight we're going to get into some things concerning healing. And I think for the next 4 weeks or so, we're going to be covering that subject. So I think it'd be great if you dial in, because I think there's some great stuff I'd like to share. Well, if you'd like to go to someplace, Psalm 107. Like I said, I want to share a little bit on healing these next few weeks. Not only for us as individuals, but also to be able to assist other people who have physical needs. We've heard plenty of teachings on healing, and I think they're all great, and just trust that this will help us in our own personal lives with our health, as well as, again, being able to help others understand. When I got the word, we talked about how God was first aid, and how God was the first place we look, the first place we go when we want to get healing. Because the greatest healing reality, of course, is God and His Word. There's no greater healing reality than that. The second is probably the love of God. But we go to God first. Always go to God first. And then the second place we go is we go to people, or we place ourselves around people who love God, love His Word, love you. Because again, that love of God, no one can really describe it, but everything puts off something. And when you're around a bunch of people or a person who loves God and loves you, it is really healing. So we go and we put ourselves around people who will love us. We also go to people who can pray for us, who can minister healing to us by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. That's what we do. Healing, there's so much to it. There's so many aspects to it. It could be from anything, you know. And the third place you go, if you haven't been able to believe God big enough, which sometimes we don't, for one reason or another, we got ministered to, and for some reason, we don't get healed when we think we should or quickly. Then we go to a doctor, or we go to someone in that field who will help us. That's why doctors are doctors. I've heard believers before, too often times, bitch and moan about doctors. And how, you know, this and that, you know, doctor this, doctor that, you know. They didn't need doctors and all this stuff in the word. Well, I beg to differ with you, because Luke was a doctor. Luke was a physician. And I've heard different theories of some people talking about this, but he was a physician. And he wrote by revelation the book of Acts, where, if you read the book of Acts, believers had plenty of problems. How many times did Paul get his butt kicked? How many times did he get hurt? How many times he was there? What do you think he did? The only place that it says Paul got healed is when he got stoned to death, where he got ministered to and healed. The other places it doesn't say. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But I do know Luke was there. So the first place we go to is God. We go to God, we go to His Word. The second place is be with people who put off love, who put off blessings, get prayed for, get ministered to. And the third place you go is to a doctor if you need to. So in Psalm 107, 107th Psalm, we'll look at this. What is God's, you know, in order to receive anything from God, the first thing you got to know is what's available. So what is God's will? What is God's will? What is God's will? Psalm 107, verse 20, it says, He sent His word, and He healed them. He healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God sent His word and healed them. Well, that should pretty much do it for us. He sent his word and healed them, and he delivered them. Delivered means to, he rescued them. He made them find a safe place. He made a way to escape from their maladies, whether it be physical healing, spiritual healing, mental healing. God is a huge God. He really answers prayers. You know what country is a real mess? Venezuela. We have a couple of Venezuelans in here, I think. That is a mess. It's like a fifth world country. People get paid $20 in a month. And yet we have one of the greatest groups of believers anywhere in the whole world living in Venezuela. And when is their advance? It's next week?
Starting next Thursday.
Next Thursday, same time as the youth advance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have this wonderful believer who was in my Way Corps and George's Way Corps and Debbie and Randy's Way Corps. God, we have a lot of Seventh Corps in this fellowship.
Camellia,
too. Anyway, she is a spiritually sharp cookie, and the whole idea all along was to get her there and to have her help and assist and just watch out for that advance. And there's been all kinds of problems getting her in and getting her back and all this stuff. And Bob Chatton and I talked about it a couple days ago, yesterday, I think. And I got off the phone and I prayed and that God would open a door. And, you know, within 2 hours, that door was open and she's able to go and she'll be able to come back also. Coming back sometimes is a problem. So that's an awesome answer to prayer. And I don't know what that will mean for the amount of people that will be there. I'm still talking about healing. Don't you worry. There'll be people there with plenty of needs, and she knows how to walk with God. And I think that her presence there is really going to be very, very helpful. It's God's will for health. God did not make us to be sick all the time. God wants us to be healthy. He sent his word and he healed them. And not only did he heal them, he delivered them from all their destructions. 3 John, go there. 3 John 1:9 I don't remember, but you know, you share the word with somebody and they go, I know. Well, please, can you just let somebody share the word with you without you saying, oh, I know that? Might have been you the other day, Debbie. We were talking, no?
Today.
It was a long time ago. 3 John, verse 2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I don't know about you, but I can read. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Even as we breathe, even as we have breath in our life, God wants us to prosper. Prosperity, you know, people have weird ideas about prosperity. It's not money. It's that you have what you need. You got a roof over your head. You got food in your stomach. You got a nice place to sleep. That's nice. And health. Above all things that you can prosper and be in health, even as we breathe. God, that's God's will. God's will is for us to be healthy. God's will for us is to prosper. That's God's will. Now, I know sometimes we screw up or we for one reason or another, because of who knows what, we don't rise up to believe God in those areas. But then, you know what, you hang on, you do your best, and then boom, something happens, it's great. It turns the corner, you turn the corner. You go through 2 weeks of tough times or something, but you stay in there with God and his word, and you see a change. You see a change for the better. You could know something 1 year, and 3 years later, see what you knew in your heart come to pass. It's wild. Psalm 103. 103rd Psalm. And you know, I remember Dr. Werewolf saying, if you're not seeing signs, miracles, and wonders, you're not promoting the right stuff. And I totally believe that. We need to see God come to pass in our life. We need to see those signs, miracles, and wonders. And dang it, if we're paying attention, we'll see them. If we're not, if we got our head someplace else other than God, we're not going to see much. But in verse 1 here, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And I'll tell you, a big part of the reason people get sick is because of their iniquities. They do not accept God's forgiveness. And so they hang on to stuff way too long. They hold what they've done in condemnation, or they just don't accept God's forgiveness. And our body wasn't made to not accept forgiveness. Who forgiveth all thy diseases, all thy iniquities rather, who healeth all thy diseases. Wow, what a God. This is God's will. God's will is that we accept his forgiveness. You're forgiven. And he heals all our diseases. What are they? What? And you could say, well, I've known people who haven't, you know, okay, great. But God's will is health. God's will is that we're forgiven. And God's will supersedes my will. And the word healeth here, who healeth all thy diseases, it means to mend by stitching. Wow. I thought, what a great definition. You ever get a cut or, you know, some bad cut and they stitch you up and it heals? He sent his word and healed them. He stitched them up. He took care of them. He closed an open wound. He closed the door of sickness. It means to cure and it means to make whole. Man, oh man, those are some great things. Look at verse 4 and 5. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Tender mercies. We deserve a kick in the butt, and he gives us a Reese's peanut butter cup, you know, or something. Whatever you like. Butterfinger. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And you know the Orientalism there of the eagles. Some of these eagles, this particular type of eagle, would gain a bunch of feathers, so it was almost very difficult for him to get around. He was too heavy. And so what those eagles would do is they'd shoot right up in the sky, way high in the sky, and then they would literally just go crash landing as fast as they could into the water. And because of the speed that they were going and hitting the water, all the unneeded feathers were gone. That's kind of cool. And God wants us to have our youth renewed like an eagle's. Get rid of that heavy weight. Get rid of those feathers. Dive into the heart of God and watch the feathers go. Watch the weight go away. That's what God's will is for us. Gosh, he's delivered our, he's redeemed our life from destruction. Don't you see it? We were dead in trespasses and sins, without God and without hope. And he reached down somehow because of his goodness and grace and of his foreknowledge, and he's blessed us. Out of all the billions of people in the world, we have a little knowledge of God's word, which has gone a long way for a lot of us. And it's the believing of it that really makes it great. Jesus Christ bore our sins. He was the one who did it. He bore our sins and our sicknesses. He paid the price so we didn't have to. He paid the price so that we could be whole. Whole. And so that we could be healed. That's God's will. This is God's will. That's what we're looking at right now concerning him. God's will. Isaiah 53. Well, it just turns you on to know what's available. And that's the first thing we got to know in order to receive anything from God, is we got to know what's available. And this is God's will for us. This is God's will. You could argue. You can say, well, that's not true. I'd say, really? It says it. It's in the Bible. Here it says in verse 3 and 4, he is despised, and this is prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He bore our griefs. The word griefs means sicknesses. He bore our sicknesses. Remember there was two parts in the beautiful communion that was available? First part, the broken body represented what?
Physical healing.
Physical healing. And he took himself upon the cross and he bore our sicknesses, our griefs, our sicknesses, and our sorrows or our pains. The blood represented, of course, forgiveness of sins. But he bore our sicknesses. He bore our pains. My dear friend Joe Guarini, I miss him so much. There'll be a day coming, but he used to describe the Bible in two words. He goes, in the Old Testament it was due, in the New Testament it's done. That's it. End of teaching. You know? It's all been done for us. Oh, but we, through our wonderful wisdom, our great knowledge, our great progress, our great, you know, medical discoveries, and our, boy, you want to get screwed up? Watch TV. Don't even, I tell you what, do a recording tonight of like three shows, okay? Don't even pay attention to the show. Just watch the commercials. It's drugs. It's drugs. Drugs and cars. It's drugs and cars. It used to be great because there was cigarettes, beer, you know. No more. You can't see, you don't even know what a good beer is anymore. Or a cigarette. I don't even know if they sell cigarettes anymore. But now it's a pill. You know, who bore our sicknesses and our pains. Jesus Christ is, oh, sorry, I ain't going to say it. But, you know, he's the greatest healer, thank you, that there is. He supersedes a pill, a vitamin, an herb. He even supersedes an herb. It's amazing how screwed up our society and our world is, and how screwed up we are for listening to them more than what God's will is. And that's what we're covering right here, God's will. You want to take Advil? Fine. I do. I take it for my stupid back. I got a weak back, George.
How long you got a weak back?
About a week back. 1 Peter 2. Anyway, chapter 2.
Where are we?
1 Peter 2.
In the Bible.
1 Peter 2. This is probably the greatest teaching on healing you've ever heard. Verse 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were what?
Healed.
That's God's word. By whose stripes you were healed. He endured the cross and all that stuff so we didn't have to. He did it all for us. He did it all for us. He didn't even know us. God did in his foreknowledge. By whose stripes ye were, past tense, healed. Healed. Days, oh Pete, that's awesome. Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8. And in verse 17, I think. 8:17, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Again, infirmities. Infirmities means where we weren't whole. Where we weren't whole or where we're not whole. He bore those infirmities for us in those areas where we're not whole, where we're not perfect and odor-free. And none of us are. We live in a world that has been poisoned since Adam. It was no problem those guys living 800, 900 years, 700, 600 years back then because of their blood. Their bloodstream was pure. And then, since then, it's been infected, 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 infected. And the life of the flesh is in the blood, according to Leviticus 17:11. So, we ought to really tap in and believe that in the areas that we are not whole, He's made us whole. He's made us whole. Start confessing that. Confession of belief still yields receipt of confession. We're not healed because the pain is gone. We're healed because God's word says so. We just got to stick to it. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus. That's an easy book to find. 15. In verse 22 through 26. And Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and they didn't find any water. That's a long time to go without water. 3 days is a long time without water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Marah means bitter. But these waters were poisoned. And the people murmured against Moses. And you know, if you leave people someplace and things don't work out initially, they blame the leader. You were a captain of a boat, right?
Yep.
What kind of boat was it?
A frigate.
A frigate. So... If you took this boat someplace it wasn't supposed to go, people are going to start saying, what is wrong with Esteban? Is he loco en la cabeza? You know, right? Am I right? I mean, it's right. When you lead something, Albertson, he and Dean Mercado own an architectural firm. If they get something a little bit off, who do you think is going to get in trouble? They are. They're going to murmur against it. They're going to say, oh, these guys don't know what they're doing. Well, they did the same thing with Moses. You know, 3 days, they don't have any water. And I imagine around the second day, it's like, Moses, where the hell are you taking us? There's no water. Did you know there was no water? We haven't drank in 2 days. What the hell's wrong with Moses? Has he lost his damn mind? Finally, they find water. And they must have all been excited. Look at the water. But it's poison. And then they're going, oh my God, this Moses, what is he doing? And murmuring is a big thing. So what are we supposed to drink? What shall we drink? And Moses cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him. How did he show him? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. He told him what the problem was. And he told him how to fix the problem. Okay? He showed him a tree. A tree? And when he cast into the waters were made sweet. Now, if that isn't the stupidest thing sense knowledge-wise to do, they needed to drink. God showed him a tree. And told him, I don't know if he cut it down or whatever it is, but he got the tree in the water. And as soon as the tree hit the waters were good again. The waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. He put to test God, and he showed these people, believe God. And I imagine they were all like, you're fantastic, Moses. I don't know how you came. You know, 2 minutes ago, they wanted to kill him. Mm-hmm. And they said, and there he proved them, and said, Moses said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that's first aid. That's where we go first. We hearken diligently to God and his voice. His voice, his will is recorded in his word. That's first aid. That's where we go, man. Thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight. How do we know what is right in his sight?
His word.
That's the only way we know. The only way we know is by doing his word or following his word or believing the word, whatever you want to call it, trusting his word. That's how we do it. It's not always easy because the circumstances gang up against you. All these facts and figures come in your face. Why you can't do God's word. Why you can't believe God's word. Why can't we accept God's word? Well, those got to take a back seat if we really want to see the healing and deliverance God has available. If you do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments, his word, his statutes, his word, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. One of the redemptive names of God, Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. And he doesn't do a half-assed job. He heals. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Go to Psalm 30. Psalm 30, a 30th Psalm. This should be one of these that goes on those teachings to Bob. Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast what?
Healed me.
Cried unto God, and he healed it. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. You want to talk a person about a person who lived with a lot of pressure? David did. He was always having people chase him after his life. He was in exile a number of times for many years. And yet, he cried unto God and God healed him. He brought his soul out of the grave and kept him alive that he should not go down the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. God is a God that heals. He says, thou hast healed me. Isn't it great to know and to confess when you've been healed and say, wow, God has healed me. I am healed. Wow. There are moments like that in our lives, there should be more, where with clarity and certainty, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God did that for you. Last Thursday, Pam still hadn't secured her home. Last thing I said to her, I didn't have time to get into it. I said, take it. Next day she took it and got it. Look, we have to be certain. People too often say, well, God healed me, but then there's all these other things. Either he does or he doesn't. Either his word is true or it is not true. He's the same God today as he always has been. I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. Psalm 147. Where you just undeniably know that God has healed you. That he is healed you. That's one of the greatest realities and recognitions and one of the most joyful times you'll ever have in your life when you know God did it. God did it. It wasn't my senses. It wasn't that doctor. It wasn't the... God did it. He did it. Did it because he wanted to do it. He did it because you believed him to do it. And there's a certain amount of joy of that too. That you know you believed God. You didn't kind of believe God with 37 outs. We need to get rid of all those other things and believe God. Psalm 147 verse 3. He says he healed the broken in heart. I thought of this today as I was talking to somebody. God's the one that heals the broken hearts. He's the one. Well, you got to let him. We're quick to realize our heart is broken sometimes. Sometimes we're not so quick. But be quick to let him heal it. No one can do it like God. No one can do it like God. He's the healer of broken hearts. He healeth the broken in heart. And he bindeth up their wounds. Heal the broken hearts. Binds up their wounds. Remembering again, this is what we're covering. God's will. God's will is that our hearts are healed. That our wounds are bound up. That our diseases are stamped out. That our mental stress is gone away. How do we do it? How do we get this restoration to health? How do we bring this health that God's made available into concretion, I guess, into reality? Yeah, that's a good word. How do we bring it into reality? Renewed mind. That's how. Because that's still the key to power. So in order to renew one's mind, you got to renew it from something to something. Changing my mind, I have to change it from one way of thinking to another way of thinking. And in this case, we got to know what God's word says about our situation. Whatever it is, what does God's word say? And does God's word take first place? He's supposed to be first aid. Or is he way down under the couch? Renewed mind's the key to power. So, that's a nice statement, but we've got to know what God's word says concerning our situation. And then once we know what God's word says, we have to stay and fix and meditate on that. Rather than the problem, rather than the secondary solutions we've heard, that needs to be our focus. That needs to be where our mind goes and stays on what God's word says concerning whatever it is that's our problem, whatever it is our situation that isn't great. And we need to know and continue to repeat in our minds what God's word says, what God's word says. Because that's what's going to heal us. He sent his word and healed us. Romans 12:2. You can go there. Romans 12:2. I get such a kick out of it. Life, really. And being involved in so many people's lives for so many years. And working with young people and trying to help them along the way to be more committed and dedicated to God and his word. And, you know, you hear, I remember the first time I heard Julie teach, for instance, or any of these kids, you know, and they teach, and you're hearing them teach the same word that you heard when you got in the word, the same word that you shared when you got in the word, same word you taught your first time you taught. And you just smile. And you're just like, yes, I've heard this before. But this is still true, even though I've heard it before. Pay attention, Jerry. Not, I know this, another teaching about that. No! That's a bad attitude. And our attitude towards the word determines how we're going to walk in this life. And you can never forget that. And you can never be so damn smart. Well, you know this, you know that. Yeah, what are you producing? You got a big tomato or a little tomato?
Oh.
Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's what the word says. So we need to know what God's word says, and then we stay our minds on those things. We put God's word to the test. That's what prove means. To prove means to put it to test. Well, how do we put it to test? Number one, by knowing it. Number two, by believing it. That's how. It doesn't matter how many scriptures that somebody knows or how knowledgeable you are about the stars. You know the stars. And you know the words written in the stars. So, okay, oh, I'd like to see that. Ephesians, where are you? I don't know. You know, some people know that. But that doesn't impress me or God. What impresses God is believing. And sticking in there, believing God through thick and thin, we put God's word to the test. And we prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. When the negative thoughts come, when the fears come, when the worries come, when the doubts come, when the anxieties come, bam, slap it in the head with the word of God and stay in there, even if it doesn't go away right away. Stay in there. Stay in that pocket. It's like a drummer. A good drummer stays in that pocket. And a bass player. That's what makes these songs so great. Our minds are a quagmire. They fly and fly away from us too often. And we just got to bring it back. Bring it back. Why did God design a mind? What scientists say, you know, a very small percentage of the mind is really used. And I imagine less now because you let everybody else and everything else think for you. You call Siri. You, and you take those facts. You do this. You do that. You don't even think. I feel sorry for the kids of our nation right now. They're not going to know how to add, subtract, multiply, divide. They're not going to know percentages or fractions. They do not know how to spell, and they don't know how to write. And that's just now. I can't imagine what it's going to be 15 years from now. Man, oh man, we need to read God's word and believe God's word. Put God's word to the test. When negatives come, we put the word there. Regardless of too many people, something happens and they get freaky deaky. They freak out. Stay in there, you guys, with the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Yeah. A very familiar scripture, but how appropriate. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There it is. Casting down imaginations. That could read our sense knowledge reasonings. And our sense knowledge reasonings is what gets in the way of the word. It gets in the way of the word too often. And every high thing that exalteth itself, every high or every false thing that exalteth itself above or against the knowledge of God. It's basically saying your senses supersedes the word against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now this takes work. It doesn't happen. You know, the only thing that happens immediately is salvation. Everything else, it takes some work. But it can be done, and it's got to be done if we ever expect God's best for our lives. It's got to be done. And if we're ever going to really assist people in the proper way and help them with the Word of God, it's got to be the Word, the Word, the Word, and nothing but the Word. How many times have we heard that? It's still the truth. And yet we go, yeah, it's the Word. And then you fly off in a never, never land in your own senses. It's the Word. End of story. That's what I have the right to teach on. That's what I have the right to share, because that's about the only thing I know in my life is the Word. I can give you the 1962 St. Louis Cardinals outfield, infield, pitchers. Oh, forget it, all the Giants. You know, but yeah, so what? You know, so what? Al Attles. The Indian rubber man, they called him. Anyway, but it takes work to renew our minds to God's Word. First of all, you got to know it. Second of all, you got to put it there, put it there, put it there every day. No, we want to look at everything else. Well, look at the Word as much as you look at everything else, and you'd be a lot better off. 132 of Psalms. 132. Actually, that isn't even right. Psalm 138. You know, God is first aid. Well, here's his opinion. I'll worship, verse 2, toward thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Look at the importance that God has placed in his word. Psalm 138, 2. He's magnified his word above all his name. I remember, you know, cereal boxes, you know, you get King Vitamin or, you know, Count Chocula, whatever you got. And in it would have a little prize, a magnifying glass, and you go out in the summer and you look at these ants and they'd get real big and then you burnt them, you know. A magnifying glass makes everything bigger. God's magnified his word above all his name. Well, if God has magnified his word above all of his name, what do you think we should do? We should magnify God's word above our name. We should magnify God's word above our thinking. Our great sense knowledge. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. No. Yeah, Proverbs 3. Verse 1 and 2. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Well, let's think about this logically. Forget not thy law. Well, to not forget God's word indicates you got to know it in the first place. How are you going to forget something that you don't know? I thought that was a very studious point on my part, discovering that gem. But think about it. How are you going to forget something you don't know? So it must be available to know God's word and then forget it. And that's what God doesn't want. He doesn't want us to forget it. He wants our heart to keep his commandments. And again, out of the abundance, what's that?
Abundance of heart, a man speaks.
Yeah, and what's the other one?
Issues of life.
Yeah, it's issues of life. It's what you, it's deep in there in your heart, in your guts. Well, God says, don't forget his word, but let your heart, your guts, everything keep. And keep is to guard. It also means to look after. I feel responsible to God to guard his word. I do. It's a big privilege. It's also a big responsibility to keep, to guard, to look after that word of God. That's why sometimes people get mad at me. because I'll say, that's not what the word says. And who do you think you are? And say, oh, that's not who I am. It's God's word. It's God's word. Look at verse 2. And this is all in regards to not forgetting the word. It's letting your heart keep the word. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Peace. Good God, if people were peaceful, they'd be a lot more healthy. Settle down. How many times do I have to say, take it easy? People just don't listen. I don't know too many people as wired like I am. Wired like wild wired. And yet, that's something that I do. I have to do it. Otherwise, I cannot function properly. My life would be out of order. That's why I do that every day. I take time. I settle down. I have to. Because this world's nuts for everybody. But if I'm a minister, I gotta have my life somewhat together, sometimes, at least once in a day. Length of days. I think some of us have long days. A long life and peace shall they add to thee. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. All thy ways. All thy ways. All thy ways. All of them. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Diane and I have been to more doctor's appointments than we would like to admit. I've had more things happen to me than most of all of you put together. And whenever we go to a doctor, and you know, she'll come with me. I'll go with her. We get out of that place and we go, well, my staying is, what is it? Great, anything. What was good about this appointment, right?
Oh, right.
Right, I think. And inevitably, always, something was good about it. And think of that. I mean, that's... You arrange your mind how you want to arrange it. It's your decision. I can't help you with that. All I can do is teach God's word, and then you make up your own minds. I'm responsible for this thing between my head, and that's pretty difficult at times. But I'm responsible. I can't blame you for the way I think. You can't blame me for the way you think. It'd be better for us to think what God's word says in all our ways. Acknowledge him and he will direct our paths. I want my path to be directed by my heavenly Father. Not by 14 people telling me what I need to do. Now there's times when I need help knowing what to do. And I'll ask. And we'll go to Hebrews. But that's, you know... We're responsible for our minds. We're responsible for what we think. And renewed mind is the key to power. We're not to forget God's word. We're supposed to remember God's word. In order to remember it, we need to know it. In order to know it, we need to read it. And we need to think about it. Learn verses. Put them in your brains. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick. Healing is quick. The word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is quick, which means alive. And it's powerful. It's energetic. This word has life. It has the very life of God in it. Especially when it's believed. This Bible doesn't have nothing. It ain't going to do nothing. But what's contained in it, if it's read and believed, is quick. And it's powerful. It's alive. It's energetic. And it's God's word. It says, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's God's word that cuts through all the worldly crap. That's what does it. God's word, known, believed, spoken. And it's God's word and the believing of God's word that brings us as believers deliverance, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual. And we ain't going to get nowhere if we don't believe this James business. Go to James. James 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Save means to make whole. Souls means your life. If we're going to have a life that's more than abundant like Jesus Christ promised, it's going to take receiving God's word with meekness, not being a damn know-it-all. You think you know something? Well, maybe you do. But God knows a heck of a lot more than we do. I'm sure of that. Receive with meekness the engrafted, implanted word, which is able to make whole your souls. Psalm 107. We'll close here for the night. Psalm 107, and in verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. We go to God's word first. We go to God first for our healing and our deliverance. And then, the second thing we do if we need to, is we get with people who will love us, who will listen to us, who will help us, and we get prayed for, or we get ministered to. And the third thing you do, if you can't, if it doesn't happen when it needs to happen, you go to a doctor. And by the way, when you go to a doctor, listen to the doctor. Why are you going to the doctor? Are you going to the doctor to tell him what you need? Or are you going there for him to tell you what you need? And then you don't like what you hear. It's just like people who get ministered to. And maybe, well, most people here have been in the Word long enough. Somebody gets prayed for by somebody. Let's say Pam goes to Albert. He prays for her. Nothing happens. So Pam goes to Maria. She prays for her. Nothing happens. Pam goes to Debbie. Nothing happens. Well, you know what? We do the same thing with doctors. We want them to... And then once Pam hears what she wants to hear, after being prayed for the 19th time, then all of a sudden, it's great. Well, she could have believed the first time. Otherwise, why'd she ask that person to pray for her? Hey. I believe in this healing business. I've seen it. I've been a beneficiary of it. I've been a participant in ministering to people and seeing people healed. I remember Taylor Guile, the first time he came to New Jersey. I didn't know him from Timbuktu. He wanted me to pray for him. Did we pray in the airport, Taylor, or not?
Yeah, in the parking lot.
It was in the parking lot. And you know what? He got healed. That was amazing. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. I didn't know what the hell was going on. Boom, 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 boom. Bam, healed. He believed God. And that's where we go. We go to God first. Second, you go get ministered to. Third thing, if you need to, you go to a doctor. Or whoever, you know, a psychiatrist, maybe. I'm headed there tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding. Not yet. Not yet. I'm holding on. And then the second thing, we really need to know God's will. What is God's will concerning healing? And we read a bunch of things concerning God's will. And then the way to see this stuff come into fruition is we believe it by renewing our minds to what the Word of God says. No escape route. No, that is the escape. is God's word. That's where we go. And that's where we stay. It's not often, it's not always easy, but it is so beneficial. If you make that a practice in your life, by the time you're my age, you're going to just be so blessed. Even though there's stuff comes up, and man, I get stuff all the time. I mean, I just got hit by a car, for crying out loud. You know, things happen. But what did I do? I witnessed everybody in the emergency room while getting x-rays, the nurses, the doctors. I'm having fun. Give me some more morphine. But still, the word, and nothing but the word. And so that's the first part of this. So, Father, thanks for the night. Thank you for your healing wholeness, what your word does for us and in us as we believe it. Thank you, Father, for these wonderful people, for blessing them. And, Father, for healing us in the areas that we need healing and delivering us in the areas we need deliverance. And keep the adversary at bay, Father, so that we can just walk with you. And we just thank you for the Savior that we have, Jesus Christ, and how we just can use that name to keep the adversary away. It's his name we pray, not the adversary, it's Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.